This podcast replay is brought to you by EJDConstruction.com. Call Eric at EJD Construction at 305-433-4843. They do it all, residential or commercial. EJDConstruction.com is the custom home builder and general contractor you can trust. 305-433-4843. We are back, baby. Yes, after Manny Navarro's interview straight from the airport. Remember, this season, it's going to be very interesting. Ira's going to be traveling, so we're going to be getting him at different times. Sometimes it won't be permanently the same time all the time because we may move around. Omar Kelly, once training camp starts, normally it's 11:30 in the morning, but you know what? We might do it a little earlier, might do it a little later, so you got to be alert on all of that. And there you go. And Manny, obviously, he was able to do it on time here with us. But the other day when he was doing his Tuesday hit, it was a little bit abbreviated because he was stuck in the middle of doing his job there with the ACC kickoff. But love Manny. Appreciate him, as always, with our Caneswear Miami Hurricanes report. And we thank all of you out there for always tuning in and supporting us. Tito says Notre Dame, West Virginia would be nice additions to the ACC. Let's see. Raging says Notre Dame makes too much sense, too much money as an independent. Yep. I don't think Notre Dame will commit ever to any conference at this point while they have their own, while they have their own deal. They're going to have Maria Taylor do the Notre Dame pre and post already. That's already planned ahead of time. That's such a huge thing overall. But good stuff as always. I know somebody put something about some of these teams not being, you know, on the ACC side on the Atlantic coast. But look, in the end, forget tradition, man. Tradition's out the door. This is not what it's all about. It's all about money and trying to put together the best teams. And if I'm the ACC, I'm trying to go after the biggest money programs I can and bring them in to kind of solidify the conference. Because the SEC adds Oklahoma and Texas. I mean, dude, that's a huge blow for the Big 12. Whereas for the SEC, that just makes them that much stronger. And the ACC has no choice now. Now they've got to go to 16 teams, and they've got to try to, you know, keep up with the Joneses, as they say, right? That's kind of the whole thing. Let's see. John Rouse says, did anyone view the Redskins logo as offensive 5 years ago? Well, it's a different world, John. What can I tell you, man? It's just a different world, man. It's different monsters. What can I tell you? Don't forget to hit the like button, folks. Please smash the hell out of that like button. I appreciate you all out there, as always, for supporting us and standing by our side. What else do we have to talk about here on the show that I thought was kind of interesting? I wanted to talk a little X because I wanted to bring something up, which, you know, John, you just meant, it's funny that John just mentioned, you know, well, was this logo offensive 5 years ago? And it may have been to obviously, you know, Indians all over, but one of the things that I wanted to bring up was X because I wanted to talk a little bit about when he signed his deal with the Dolphins. Right. And this is the Miami Herald. This is a Barry Jackson article from the Miami Herald. And this article dates May 14th of 2019. Xavier Howard agrees to a $76 million deal. So it says Stephen Ross had a simple message for Xavier Howard after agreeing to give him the richest contract in NFL history for a cornerback. And whether him or Josh Norman were number one, whatever, 1A, 1B, he congratulated me and said he's happy to have me here, Howard said after Tuesday's practice, after signing a five-year, $76 million deal that runs through 2024. Howard's response to Ross, I told him it's unreal. It hasn't hit me yet. But every day I wake up every morning to do my job. Howard says he's pleased that the Dolphins identified him as a long-term piece in their rebuilding program. It means a lot to me, he said. There's a lot of stuff we can do. I'm just happy to be in this situation. I'm happy the deal got done. 2 years later, You're bitching. A year later, you're bitching and complaining because Byron Jones signed in free agency where everybody overpays. X, you didn't become a free agent. You would have had a shot at getting overpaid when it's all said and done. Man, it's a blessing to be in this situation I'm in right now, he said. I'm just focused on improving each year. Most definitely, I can get better. A lot of things I can work on to help my game and become a top corner in the league. He didn't even think of himself as the top corner in the league. These are all Howard's words. That's it. Nobody else. So the greed factor has stepped in. And as I've mentioned before on this show, there's always something with the guy. And by the way, after he signs that contract, he then gets into a domestic issue. And he also suffers a knee injury. So, the Dolphins then missed him for that final year of his rookie deal. And then he played last year, his first year of the big deal. And he had a great year. But you know what? You should have a great year, dude. The year before, you were out with an injury and suspension. I mean, it's funny how all of this works out, And he's a fantastic player, man. He is an awesome player. There's no doubt about that in my mind. Okay? But there's the sad part is that in all of this, it's kind of a selfish approach. You wanted your money. You got your money, bro. Yeah, that your contract starts getting outdated. Your contract in every league gets outdated months in because you set a standard and then somebody else will beat it and will beat it and will beat it, right? But you end up agreeing to this deal and now all of a sudden you're unhappy with it? Because the greed factor kicked in? And then you want the Dolphins to take all the risk, all your knee surgeries, the off-the-field issue, and the bitching and the complaining. Dolphins did what they were supposed to do, bro. They drafted you in the second round when everybody else passed you up until that pick in the second round. But Chris Greer believed in you, and he drafted you. And then Chris Greer gives you a contract, and I still remember that some people were complaining about that contract and saying, he does have several knee surgeries and a risk and this and that. So the Dolphins have taken every part of this risk. And then X wants them to assume more risk. And X wants them to create a problem inside the locker room permanently for them for years to come. Because as long as Chris Greer is employed, every agent's going to tell him, you reworked X's deal after 1 year. Why can't you rework ours? We've outplayed our contract. So everybody that signs with the Dolphins, you realize that if you give in to X, everybody that signs with the Dolphins, if they outperform their contract in their first year, they are eligible to go back into that office and force the team to give them another contract. Why? Because you've done it in the past. And in the end, that's what I see. I don't know if that's what Chris Greer sees. I don't know if that's what Flo sees, but I see one entire side taking the brunt of everything. And I'm sorry. If I'm the Dolphins, there is no way in hell I'm doing this. No way in hell. I'm telling X, we love you. We paid you because we love you. We want you here. This is the contract you signed. We cannot rework this contract right now. We got other things that we want to do, other priorities. We need you to play in this contract for now. Down the line, we can talk about something. And then, at the end of this season, you trade his ass. Cap hit goes down, you move on, you trade him, you get your picks, and everybody's happy. He moves on. Minka's happy, right? Laremy Tunsil's happy, right? And so are the Dolphins. They can do the same thing with him. Move on. They'll find somebody else. They'll draft another corner. They'll elevate a Noah. Hopefully he's ready to play opposite of Byron. You have a better pass rush also this year. That'll help your secondary. All of these things will take place, and you'll be fine as a team. You'll overcome when it's all said and done. If you have a front office, you can overcome the loss of Xavier Howard. But if you give in to Xavier Howard, you are now going to create all kinds of future problems. All right? And I don't blame the agent whatsoever. All right? David Kanter has to do his job. The guy hired David Kanter. The guy wants money. It's not driven by the agent. It's driven by the player. So the agent has to go out there and try to do something that probably the prior agent could not do. And this agent's probably going to fail in getting a new deal with the Dolphins, but then eventually they'll get their deal because they'll get traded and they'll go somewhere else. Just be careful what you ask for, you know, because if you end up in a place where you get, and here's the other thing. So what happens if X gets traded to a place that's not that good? What if he gets traded to a bad team, a traditionally, you know, he gets traded to the Lions or something, you know what I'm saying? Where he's going to have to play in Detroit now and play for a team that hasn't done anything in even longer than the Dolphins, because it's been like 70 years for the Lions, and it's just constant mess. So if you send him out there, you know what's going to happen, right? He'll get his contract, he'll get his money, he'll say all the right things like he did in that article that I just wrote. And then the following year, guess what X is going to say? I want to get traded. I want to play for a winner. My talents deserve to be on a winner. And that's what I'm afraid of with Xavier Howard. There's always something. And that's what you have to get to a point where you have to say, you know, hey, man, you're a great player, but bro, it just gets to a point where we just can't. We just can't. So we're moving on. And that's why I wanted to find that article so I can start reading, you know, the reaction at that moment. And within a year, you're already unhappy. Less than a year, actually. Because if you sign Byron, that's in May. You sign Byron in February or March, I'm sorry, in the beginning of free agency. In less than a year, you're now unhappy with your deal because you're so worried about somebody else. You know, that's where it kind of gets, I've had enough, you know? What can I tell you? All right, remember, you can reach out to us on the YouTube channel here. You got a question, a comment. We sometimes are able to get to it and respond email. Anytime you're listening on the podcast, you got a question, you disagree with something, agree with something, you like the segment, you hated the segment, you love the show, hated the show, send it in, bigoradioshow@yahoo.com. Of course, Cash App and Venmo is another way to reach out to us. Search for Cash Big O Show. That's Cash Big O Show. And always send it in there. We appreciate it. Twitter, Big O Show, too. Dolphins sign a CB from the Eagles. Yeah, but that don't. I'm not talking about Scrubberinis. I'm not worried about backups and rotational guys at this point. The guy that we got to see now is Noah. That's the guy that becomes Noah becomes right now the biggest impact guy that we have to watch for the Miami Dolphins this offseason and going into the regular season. Because if Noah, put it this way, those of you that are nervous about this X situation, be honest now. Be honest. If Noah's balling every time he plays, filling in, do you then start to get worried about the X situation? Or you start saying you build confidence in it, right? You say, okay, well, no, they got a guy to replace him. Let's go. Move on. If this guy is going to be complaining constantly and it'll be creating issues, yeah, he's a great player, but he's also a pain in the ass. Well, then let's move on. You know, and that to me is the spotlight focus that we need to have on. I mean, there's plenty of players we got to look at. Obviously, Tua is number one. You know, we all are looking at Tua to take that next step and become that franchise guy that we desperately need down here to watch with our Dolphins. But a guy like Noah is the guy that a lot of us are going to be watching. Because if he improves, then that makes you feel better about this situation. If he regresses or shows no improvement, then that makes you feel real nervous about losing X, because then obviously you're going to get exposed on that side of the field. And even though I will tell you this, I think the corners, I think the secondary should be better this year. Why? Because the pass rush should be better this year. You know, adding Jalen Phillips should add to your pass rush. Getting Vince Beagle back should add to your pass rush. Adding Andrew Van Ginkle, another season of experience should get your pass rush. Sealer Seiler should help you out with your pass rush. More experience, built up the body, all those kind of things. Christian Wilkins is better. You should have a better pass rush. I'm not telling you he's going to get 9 or 10 sacks from the middle, but he might get to 5 this year or something. You know what I'm saying? So these are things that all should improve. Emmanuel Ogbah, he's on a contract year, baby. You know, that should help out. Emmanuel Ogbah should be playing like a werewolf this year. Why? Because he's on a contract. All these kind of things are really going to help the secondary look better. I expect them to, maybe the challenge of covering receivers might be slightly easier. Nothing's easy in the NFL, but I'm saying slightly, because now you'll have more guys that can actually get to the quarterback. And if Jalen Phillips is what we expect, I mean, talent-wise, he could already be that guy, man, because he's got the gifts. You know what I mean? The only thing I was kind of concerned was with the concussions. But as I looked more into the concussions, I really, you know, I kind of said, you know, this makes a lot of sense, man. Because he's so gifted. And I kind of understand. And this year was so hard I just think college football has become harder to decipher and scout. And in a year like last year, it becomes almost impossible, to be honest with you. But all of these things should help out the secondary this year. You know, this is something that I'm really looking forward to with the Miami Dolphins. You know, Tommy in Hialeah says X has to play out or he won't be able to cash in again. Yeah, no, of course. If he acts like a dick now, he's not going to get traded, and he'll get traded for less, or he'll be stuck here. And if he wants to hold out, then he's not going to make his money. And dude, I would hope that Le'Veon Bell taught everybody a lesson on stupidity. Okay? A monster lesson on stupidity, because all of this ended up having a domino effect on him. Acting like an asshole with the Rooney family and that franchise, which, you know, I almost put it, let me put it this way. If you're a football player and you're going after the Rooney family, I'm pretty sure I'm actually siding with the Rooney family 99.9% of the time. I'm pretty sure I'm going to side with the Steelers and the Rooney family because their track record is over half a century of doing things the right way. So I'm going to go on that side, not on the player side. You know what I'm saying? So these are things that we have to kind of take into account when we start looking at all of these situations. And I just, to me, it just gets to a point where you look at the Le'Veon Bell situation. He gets traded away. He ends up becoming a free agent. He loses his long-term contracts. He loses his signing bonuses. He loses future earnings. He's sitting out as a free agent now. What did you get, dude? What did you get for being an idiot for a year and losing $15 million, whatever it was, $16 million? It was a ridiculous number. You never made that money back. And down the line, you weren't ever going to make that money back. But that's where the player drives the agent. You think his agent wasn't telling him, yo, I disagree with this, I'll do it. It's kind of like even if David Kanter disagrees with Xavier Howard right now, and he also knows that he's up that battle without a, you know, he's up that creek without the paddle, as they say, he has to go out and balls out and defend his player, because that's what a good agent does. That's what a good lawyer does. Even if you're defending a guy that's a murderer, your job as a lawyer, if you're the defense lawyer, you got to defend him. He or she has to defend him with every tool that they have possible to give them a fair trial and to treat the situation fairly. And he's fighting for his client. That's it. But I would hope that the Le'Veon Bell situation taught a lot of these guys that, hey, look, and I would hope agents are going to say, hey, look, man, look what happened to Le'Veon. I don't think we want to go down this path. I don't think you want to hold out and lose out on this money, because then it starts to become a trickling effect, a domino effect that will, might hurt you down the line the way Le'Veon has. You know how much, how many millions of dollars Le'Veon Bell has lost for screwing it up with the Rooneys? That made no sense. None whatsoever. The other thing that I wanted to talk about on the Dolphins side that I found very interesting, and that is Will Fuller V. And I saw some videos of him working out, and he looks in great shape, and he's, you know, jumping on this thing that's like 5 foot tall. You know how those guys do it from the floor and up, and I saw that video, and okay, you just watch that video and then you go, wow. But I went a little deeper on the wows, because we're talking about a guy with traditional hamstring issues. And one of the conversations that we've had on this show, I don't know if we've had it here in this first month, but I think we had it a couple months back, maybe on Onside. In fact, I'm pretty sure on Onside. I'm damn sure on this podcast when we, you know, last year before we ended it in late December, that we didn't do any more shows for several months. And I told you guys this about Will Fuller and Chris Greer, the anticipatory GM. Okay, Will Fuller has the suspension. Will Fuller has hamstring injuries, history of them. But there's no doubt that when he's on the field, he's an absolute difference maker. He has something you can't teach, something you can't catch up with, and that is speed. Okay, he creates the kind of separation that you want from your elite receivers. All right. Now, I'm not saying that he's elite, but he has elite speed, and it makes him an incredible weapon. And Jalen, has the same kind of gear, right? When I see him working out and I see him jumping up on that stack, I see a guy, is what I told you months ago. This was a genius move by the coach. Why was this a genius move by the coach? Because he put Will Fuller on a one-year deal because of the suspension, because of the injury history. Will Fuller wanted a big contract with the signing bonus, but nobody was willing to give it to him because of the injury history. So now Will Fuller knows that he's got to find a way to fine-tune his body, to stay healthy, to stay on the field, to have a great year, so then he can go out and get that great contract. Because after a year of staying healthy and going out there and being productive, somebody will then give him a contract because he's a freaking weapon. You know what I mean? And so now I'm watching him in these workouts and lifting weights and jumping up and all that. And I'm going, wow, this is great, dude. This is July. The dude is driven mad to have a great year, is focused. And he's not worried about all the periphery. He's not worried about money. He's not worried about this and that. He's worried about getting a great year in. That way next year, he can get the money that he's been wanting for a long time. You know what I'm saying? And I loved to watch that video because, again, this is exactly the way Chris Greer probably envisioned it. I'll dangle this carrot in front of this kid. I'll give him a year contract. We all know he can ball, but he knows that if he doesn't take care of his body and he doesn't stay healthy and he doesn't stay on the field, he won't get that contract next year. Sure, it'll hurt me, but I'm only tied to him for a year. So I'm rolling the dice on a guy that could end up becoming one hell of an offensive piece for your team. And playing opposite of Jalen Waddle, which was probably their vision, they're like, okay, we're going to have the fastest pair of wide receivers in the NFL. Speed kills. We got the kid that is quick twitch, can find these guys and get the ball to them. Let's roll. So the vision was there. The execution now is taking place. And we start looking. The agenda is also in place. Dolphins got their deal. They're protected. They're not tied to something long-term. So they don't have any long-term signing bonuses or any kind of cap hits. Now it's up to the young man to go out and ball and perform if he wants to make more money down the line. I loved it. That to me, when I saw that video of Will Fuller, I was just smiling, going, Chris Greer, you some bitch. You nailed it, bro. You nailed it. You nailed it. And, you know, this buys you another year to then go get another receiver in the draft if you feel like it, too. If you want to get another burner, you can do that in the draft next year. They got multiple picks, remember. All of these things are going to, you know, I'm just telling you that it's there is so much intelligence in the way that they've been building this team and the way they have their contracts structured, okay? The things, even whether it's from Devontae Parker to Will Fuller to, obviously, Xavier Howard. You know, that's what this is all about. And they're trying to build a team so they can actually, what? Try to win a Super Bowl before you got to pay Tua in year five. That's the trick out of all of this. Load it up. Keep going. That's why I also say that all this silliness that people talk about with Watson is out the door, because then all of a sudden you've got to give up a plethora of ammunition that you desperately need. You're not going to go out and beat the Bucks for a Super Bowl or the Chiefs with a Super Bowl with just a quarterback and a depleted lineup because you had to give up a bunch of picks and players for one guy. Then all of a sudden you put Deshaun Watson in the same situation he was in Houston. It's not the way it goes. You want to kind of have your quarterback and then that quarterback be spoiled with weapons. Dude, Pat Mahomes is great. And then you also give him Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. Get the F out of here, bro. The Hardman kid's a blazer. They got another kid there that I'm missing that's also pretty damn good. And I'm brain farting right now. But, I mean, so you're giving the best quarterback on the planet, Mahomes, or number two, whatever the hell you want to do, you're going to give him one of the three best tight ends in the league and one of the three best wide receivers in the league? Oh, okay, so now you're going to acquire Tom Brady, and you already have Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. You're going to add crazy-ass Brown, and you've got Santiago and Brate, so now you're still going to add Gronkowski. You know, that's what this game is. It's an arms race. You have to be very careful here. That's why with Tua, the way where you're placed, you can get into an arms race because you can build the arms. But if you got to trade for Aaron Rodgers, you got to trade for Deshaun Watson, you're going to have to trade a lot of your arms. And then that becomes a problem. Now you put the burden more on the quarterback. And that's kind of the situations that they've been in. You know, they in Kansas City and Tampa, they look to make it easier for great quarterbacks. What you don't want to do is make it harder, like Green Bay has, on your great quarterback. Yeah, he'll respond, but he can only get you so far, because if you don't have a good enough D and you don't have enough good weapons, he can only do so much. It's a tangle web we weave, ladies and gentlemen, when we look at this discussion and talk about what's going on in the NFL. Crazy stuff. Stones, by the way, announced a tour. No Miami date. They will be going to Tampa Bay, speaking of the Bucks. October 29th, they'll be at the Pirate Ship at Raymond James Stadium. Rat, by the way, has a new documentary. I'm going to watch that tonight. Hosted by Stephen Percy. It's called Nothing to Lose. I'm going to definitely check that out. Okay? Just a couple little music notes. Nothing big. The other thing, obviously, RIP to Greg Knapp and his family. And the Jets organization, the man, unfortunately, the passing coordinator for the New York Jets, had a bike accident, hit by a car, and ended up passing away, unfortunately. Our thoughts and prayers to Greg Knapp and his family. Just terrible, man. Terrible. Terrible. See, and that's why we have to cherish every day, ladies and gentlemen. Every day that we're on this earth and we get to enjoy our families and our friends and or even get to work. Or just even get to enjoy life. Every day that our eyes open is absolutely a true blessing. And our thoughts and prayers, man, with Greg Knapp and his family. Just terrible, terrible news to hear about that. So, Chase One says, we will win one by 2030. Chase, they're going to win one next year, bro. Relax. Okay? Relax. 2022 season is the season that the Miami Dolphins are going to win the Super Bowl. That's all. It's pretty simple. There's not really much else to really kind of, what's that called? Get crazy about. Okay. It's going to happen. You got to have some faith that they're going to build it up. Yesterday, somebody was asking me that. And so I basically told them, listen, you gotta look at it this way. You've got to look at it that they are, wait a minute, where are we at here? Okay, here we go. I'm trying to find the soundbite from yesterday so I can play it for you guys. Cause we had a listener yesterday that was kind of I guess nervous about, you know, the future of the Dolphins. And I wanted to, you know, have him feel good about it. I don't know what the hell I labeled it now, unfortunately. Sucks. But basically, tune up here, title next year, bro. Tune up in 2021, title in 2022. No, 2030. Don't make me wait till 2030. You know, that's 9 years from now, bro. I don't want to, no. Next year is title year. All right. It's a beautiful thing. Willie says, Big O, I just emailed you. Please let me know if it's there. All right, bro. I will let you know if you emailed me and we got it. Let's see. Big O Radio Show at yahoo.com. I don't see your email, my man. Maybe it comes in late or something like that. But right now, oh, wait a minute. Is it, no? No, that's not it either. Did I go to the right? Oh, no, I went to the wrong one. My bad. Hold on. No, I'm in the right one. Yeah. Yeah, I have several Yahoo accounts. But I appreciate all of you out there. So, Willie, resend it. Maybe is what you do. All right, folks, we are going to wrap it up here on the show on a Friday. Hope all of you out there have a great and safe weekend. Monday, of course, Omar Kelly will join us, and we'll talk a little Dolphins with him. And Tuesday will be, of course, Manny Navarro. Wednesday, we'll start our first edition of Inside the Paint, and that'll be 10 to 11 with Ira Winderman and Clay Ferraro as they get you ready for a little free agency and what the Miami Heat could possibly do. So a lot of basketball talk coming your way in the 10 o'clock hour here on the program. So good stuff there. Got a lot of and we're going to add more. We're not done yet. Actually, the show is going to continue to grow, and we're going to add a lot more, man. So appreciate all of you out there. I love you all. Thank you all out there for podcasting all weekend and listening to the show. Whenever you do listen to the show, afternoons, evening, weekends, whatever, email me at BigORadioShow@yahoo.com. That's BigORadioShow@yahoo.com. Send it in there. And of course, Cash App or Venmo, Cash Big O Show as always. That's Cash Big O Show. We will see you on Monday. Same time, same place, same bat channel.
Starting in August, longtime Miami Heat insider Ira Winderman joins the Big O Radio Show. Ira will give insight twice a week on your favorite NBA team. Heat fans, get the information you crave from one of the best in the business. From weekly appearances to breaking news, join Ira Winderman exclusively on the Big O Show. Found on most platforms.